Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
With the marriage survey yes vote confirmed and legislation to change the law allowing same-sex marriage making its way through the Parliament, the question now exercising the minds of members and senators is this: do we now need additional legal protection for religious freedom in federal legislation? If you like, one standard to override the different legislation in the states and territories. Well, among those who say there should be, there's a further question. Should that be in the form of amendments to the Marriage Act or in a separate form, perhaps a Bill of Rights? The question of strengthening religious freedom and other human rights in Australia is not a new one by any means. Back in 2008, when Kevin Rudd was Prime Minister, he appointed eminent lawyer and Jesuit priest Frank Brennan to head up a National Human Rights Consultation Committee. It looked at this exact question. Father Brennan, welcome back to Open House.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Stephen.
I gather you weren't surprised by the result either.
Oh, not at all. I was a bit surprised that it was such a huge turnout. I think, you know, something at about 80% is obviously much more, for example, in the Irish, that I think was only at about 60%. But in terms of the numbers who voted yes against no, I had long been predicting it would be somewhere between a yes vote of 57 to 63%. Well, it came in at 62.
Well, there we are. And what was interesting about that was that the polls were about the same all the way through. And I guess you'd then have to say, did either of the campaigns actually get people to change their minds?
I don't think they did in that, I mean, basically the Irish vote was at 62, ours was at 62. And I think one thing that is significant is that particularly the no case was formulated, understandably, I suppose, in terms of fears about lack of protections of particularly religious freedom. Whereas I think that for a lot of people, particularly more religious people in the no camp, I think their concerns were what you might call more theological or moral in terms of relationships of homosexual persons. But that sort of thing wasn't judged to be polite for conversation in the public square. So I think it then led to a campaign which was somewhat dissonant.
Dissonant?
Dissonant, yes. In that I think that for a lot of those who were advocating the no case in terms of protections, I remember, for example, when I chaired the inquiry for the Rudd government in 2009 on the National Human Rights Consultation, there were many of the more conservative religious people in Australia who objected to any idea, for example, of a National Human Rights Act, whereas it's precisely that some of those individuals and the arguments that they were putting then, those arguments have now been reversed to say, well, there's a need for robust statutory protection of the right of religious freedom.
Well, that's precisely the reason we wanted to speak with you on this program, because of your history in this area and the inquiry that you did conduct. I remember at the time that the idea of a Bill of Rights was opposed by a lot of people, including, as I recall, former New South Wales Premier Bob Carr, not a religious man himself, but for various reasons, the argument was made that a Bill of Rights could codify things so much that you could end up restricting freedoms rather than having an open approach in individual pieces of legislation.
Well, Bob Carr is a good example. During the inquiry of the National Human Rights Consultation in 2009, Bob was fond of telling religious audiences the rather amusing story about when he was Premier of New South Wales. And there were questions about what exemptions there should be for churches in various pieces of discrimination legislation at the state level. And he described how the Anglican Archbishop of Sydney and the Catholic Archbishop of Sydney came jointly to see him as Premier, and they were able to have a gentlemanly conversation and shake hands and agree, and that was all that was needed. And as he said at the time, it was almost as if he was bringing to an end the age of the Reformation. But that I think what is fair to say now is, whereas back in 2009, there was still a perception by some religious leaders and by people by Bob Carr that there was no need for further legislation being handed over to the courts for interpretation when your church leaders and elected politicians could reach a gentleman's agreement, whether behind closed doors or whatever. Now, I think the idea that there can be simply agreements on these things between church leaders and leaders of government, I think those days have gone. So the question then becomes, how do you best ensure the protection of freedoms, particularly of minorities, in the wake of populist sentiment? And what we all have to accept is that in a democracy, we're always trying to balance the will of the majority over against what is necessary to protect even an unpopular minority in terms of what's necessary for their dignity and their basic human rights.
And there's no greater example of that than this debate that says, well, you should be allowed to teach your children, or priests ought to be able to teach their congregations and so on, that God's ideal is for a man and a woman to be married.
Indeed.
Except if you're going to vilify you know, or otherwise transgress the rights of gay people to live free lives. Now, there is the balancing act that we talk about in human rights law.
There is, and that's why you then look at the issue of, all right, if you don't have a human rights act, do you, for example, legislate at a national level for a religious freedom act? And there was a proposal for that, I think quite a well-argued report by Chris Sidoti when he was the Australian Human Rights Commission, which argued for such a piece of legislation. Now, that was back in 1998.
And what's your view? You think we should have an act or a Bill of Rights?
Well, you could have either. I mean, when we talk about a Bill of Rights, you can, of course, put a Bill of Rights in a constitution, as the Americans have done. I've never been attracted to that idea, because if you put it in the constitution, you do leave the final word to the judges, and therefore what happens, and we see it in the United States all the time, when there's controversy over a moral social issue, for example, same-sex marriage, what do the Americans do? They just leave it to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court always takes it upon itself to give the decision about whether or not there's a right to same-sex marriage. What we in Australia do, where we don't have a constitutional Bill of Rights, is we say, well, that's appropriately a matter for the Parliament, and so our elected legislators determine what to do. So if you have a constitutional Bill of Rights, you're leaving the ultimate word always to the judges. If you have a legislative Bill of Rights or a legislative Human Rights Act, what you're doing is setting down in legislation the rights with which future legislation needs to comply, unless, of course, the Parliament wittingly says, well, we know we've legislated this Human Rights Act as a general provision in the past, but we want to override it in this particular later instance, and as it's only a legislative instrument and not a constitutional one, we'd have the power to do that. And so that's what you have in jurisdictions such as the United Kingdom and New Zealand.
Our guest is Father Frank Brennan, a respected senior lawyer and a Jesuit priest, and the man who led the inquiry by the Rudd government into whether Australia ought to have exactly that thing, a Bill of Rights. And maybe it's time to revisit that. Frank Brennan, is it your view? Let's get down to tin tacks. Is it your view that there's a need for additional protections once we have seen a change in the Marriage Act to include same-sex couples?
Well, let me give a slightly convoluted answer to that. I do think that in relation to marriage ceremonies, there are needs for religious protections, and I think they're the sorts of protections that have been spoken about in the Dean Smith Bill and the sorts of amendments that have been suggested by the Attorney General, George Brandis.
Yep, so it looks like they'll get up. That doesn't seem to be a problem.
Yeah. Now, aside from that, in relation to any new issue, such as same-sex marriage, I think we do have questions that arise under various headings. One would be, for example, do we have sufficient protection in our existing Fair Work Act for an employee who may want to express strong or even modest views about what they think marriage should or should not be about? Now, under our Fair Work Act, you cannot, as an employer, discriminate against an employee because of their religion or their political opinion.
Or their marital status.
or their marital status. But in the United Kingdom, for example, there's a further provision that says you're not allowed to discriminate against people because of their particular religious or conscientious belief. Now, do we have that sufficiently covered in Australia? I say that's an open question.
It was an interesting thing. It was covered during the period of the survey by the Safeguards Act. Now, that act has now finished and been annulled or whatever. That act led to an interesting discussion about someone who was let go, a contractor was let go by a party catering firm or someone, because of something that she had written on her Facebook page. And presumably that act was written specifically to cover instances like that, which said that you're not allowed to discriminate against a person on the basis of their real or perceived opinions on the question of marriage. Now, those protections are not there. They're not continuing. So you're saying, do we need to have that sort of protection?
I'm saying they're the sorts of things that we should be looking at. I am saying, though, you wouldn't put that in the Marriage Act. What you do is you look at whether or not there's a need for some tweaking of the Fair Work Act. Now, all I'm saying is that I think in honouring the will of the Australian people, our Parliament should legislate for same-sex marriage before they adjourn for Christmas.
Yes.
But I am saying there are ongoing questions, legitimate questions, that people have about whether or not there will be sufficient protections in the sort of case that you've just mentioned. And so I think the question now is, what is an appropriate fair dinkum process that the Parliament should look at in order to ensure that they are properly addressing those questions? Now, I think there are a couple of options. The ideal one, from my point of view, would be for the Attorney General under Section 11 of the Australian Human Rights Commission Act to refer the matter to the Australian Human Rights Commission with its new president, Roslyn Croucher, who I think has a very good public reputation and is seen to be someone who would be thoroughly professional and whose integrity is completely welcomed by all sides of politics. I think if someone like her was asked in conjunction with a panel of experts, where that panel of experts was drawn from both the yes and the no camp in the recent campaign, and she could be asked to report back to the Attorney General on where are the proven shortfalls in terms of protection of employees, employers, church groups as property holders, churches as charitable institutions, parents, guardians wanting to educate their children or to take their children out of particular classes, etc.
Yes, yes.
Get a comprehensive report on that. Now, if our politicians don't want to entrust that to the Human Rights Commission, which I think would be the ideal organ to do it, then they should at the very least set up a select parliamentary committee to look into the matter, receive evidence from people, including those who are strong in the yes and strong in the no campaigns, and then make an assessment as to what is necessary in terms of any tweaking of other legislation or even some special legislation, particularly in terms of protecting the rights of children and the rights of parents and guardians to determine the mode of education of their children.
Well, then, of course, there's the Fawcett Committee. Now, this is the committee that looked at an original version of a same-sex marriage bill. That committee's findings have been disputed in the last few days. Some people say that the Dean Smith bill, the one that's currently before the Parliament, was the result of David Fawcett's committee. David Fawcett himself has told us here on Open House and told others that, no, his committee recommended far greater protections for religious freedom, and he's intending to look at that again in 2018. So could that be a vehicle to do what you've suggested?
It could be. I mean, it doesn't matter which particular committee, but I think provided there is a parliamentary committee which is open and transparent and is receiving evidence from people who have been affected or claim to have been affected. And so we understand that while you're having a campaign, that people will say all sorts of things, but once the campaign is over and once it's done and dusted, then that's the time to call for the hard evidence and in the cold light of day look at that evidence and say, right, what are the shortfalls in the Australian legal architecture for the protection of these rights?
Well, Frank Brennan, we are at a very, very interesting place, not just for the reason of same-sex marriage, quite an historic decision made this week, announced this week, but in terms of human rights and religious freedoms in Australia, and it's very good of you to help us work through that.
A pleasure, and might I say, I think the same-sex marriage debate, in a sense, is a convenient moment to take stock on these things. Mm. Let's be in no doubt, Stephen. Last week, the UN Human Rights Committee, which, to be very blunt, is on these issues very politically correct, very left of centre, it made observations on Australia's report under the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, saying that Australia's protections of religious freedom are deficient and that there is a need for something to be done. Now, to have the UN Human Rights Committee saying that of Australia, I think, is a wake-up call to everyone right across the political spectrum.
Indeed it is. Frank Brennan, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.